This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Man, we're going to have some fun today. Mary Goulet is on vacay, although I don't know I would necessarily call it vacay because she's with her mama who needs a little bit of Mary time. So we wish Mary well, and we will see her hopefully, and you will hear her hopefully very, very soon. But man, we're heavy here on the testosterone in the house today, boys.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to give props.
I'm
kind of stuck.
Are you gonna give shout outs too? You're gonna give shout out
what
West Side? Is there a West Side? There's no West Side of San Diego, by the way.
That's the ocean.
So you can't even do that here. You can't even do West Side in San Diego because you end up drowning and dead. So, yeah. Matter of fact, you guys put like all you San Diegans. Is it a San Diegan? All you San Diegans, you put like the people you hate, like on the West Side. You're like, no, you guys will you'll love it out there. Go. All right, sorry, wait, go ahead. You're sending out props.
Yeah, just that Mary took a day off, and it takes three guys
to replace Mary. Exactly. And how true that is. All right, so what do we got? We got Chuck Wang in the house.
What's up, Big Steve?
What's up?
Mr. Ote, Richard Ote.
What's going on?
Or is it Odie?
Ote.
See, it's kind of a combination of three. By the way, what's your email? Because that's like so cool. You got an Ote Buckwheat. What's the? You don't have to get the whole thing away. But isn't it like
it's Ote Buckwheat?
Ote Buckwheat, exactly. And of course, the one and only Wade is in the house. All right, so this is going to be a little bit interesting. And honestly, I mean, I'm excited to have Lisa on, but at the same token, I'm a little scared for Lisa. Lisa, you're there, right?
I'm here.
You are there. Okay, you're like way outgunned, but we're going to have some fun here.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's the attitude, yeah. Lisa.
Was hoping we can get you here in studio, but we're going to be talking about, technically, you didn't want to call it equality. You call it gender equity. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so gender equity, which is really interesting. By the way, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, wow. Okay, all the way across the coast. And all right, so we're going to be talking about reinventing gender equity, which should be really interesting, and very much looking forward to that. But before I jump straight into the show, the interview, et cetera, you guys know how I am. So there's some things I always want to kind of talk about here. And today, what I want to talk about is, obviously, we're in a political season, and I know we've been talking a little bit of politics, but specifically, I want to talk about that whole Affordable Care Act thing, right, which is, it's some people love it, some people hate it, but what it's really done, and it's interesting, is it's in the words of this particular reporter, I'll use her words, which she said, it's really sort of put the spotlight on the poor state of the country's health and healthcare system. And interestingly enough, and let me ask you this, all right, how about this, boys? Of all the, and Lisa, of course, of all the developed nations, like, first world countries, where do you think the United States ranks in terms of life expectancy based on what they spend per capita? What do you think? Where do you think the United States ranks on life expectancy as it relates to spending per capita on healthcare? Any guesses?
Teens, 20s.
Chuck, what do you think?
Probably pretty shitty, actually.
Be more specific.
Let's go 30%.
Okay, so 30% down on the list. What do you think, Rich?
I was gonna say 30.
About 30. Okay, Lisa, what do you think?
I was gonna say 25.
25. Yeah, you know what? Dead last of all the developed nations. That's frightening to me. And it's interesting because, there's all sorts of cities out there, of course, that, where their health is kind of crappy. And what they did is they did a study recently to talk about the best and the least healthy cities in each of the different states. And you guys are going to appreciate this because obviously we're here in California, although Lisa, you're in Tampa. But as far as like one of the worst places to live, where more than 30% of the adult population reported being in poor health, what city in California do you think that is, boys and Lisa?
San Diego, are you serious?
No, not okay. San Diego, but it is a city in California.
LA.
Not LA.
Is it LA?
It's not LA, Lisa. What do you think, Rich? What do you think? It's central. I'll give it to you. It's in the central, in the mid region. What do you think, Wade?
San Luis Obispo.
Actually, interesting laugh. We're going to talk about that. What do you think, Wade?
I was going to guess Santa Barbara.
Well, not for the worst health. So they're actually in California, and this is the worst city in all of America.
Worst.
The worst. Sorry, the worst.
Oh,
did I not say that? Let me be clearer.
I got a little confused.
Okay, worst city.
Well, Sacramento's in that dust valley of death.
It is. Technically, if you live in Death Valley, it's probably not a good... That's like... So, honey, where do you want to move? I was thinking we should move to Death Valley. Wow, that's a great idea. Chuck, all right, so you had a guess there. All right, so anyways, it's Madera. Where is Madera? It's in the Central Coast, right? It's like sort of in that industrial, between the mountains, like the air can't escape kind of thing, right? Exactly.
Central Valley.
You know what the healthiest city is in all of America? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's in the Midwest. And actually, I'll give
Minneapolis.
Oh, well, that's pretty good, Lisa. But let's go further south and west. Ooh, hello. South and west. Okay, what do you think, Rich? South and west. Healthiest city in America. Healthiest. What do you think, Wade? Chuck, any guesses?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, other state. Still in the Midwest, but another state.
Someplace in Ohio other than Cleveland.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Ooh, very close. We're close. Okay, so it's Ames, Iowa, actually. That's where Iowa State is, I believe. And that's where Gable was. You guys do any wrestling? You guys didn't do any wrestling, did you? The legendary Dan Gable. Okay, look at you. Richard's like, I did. Okay, so here's how they were. So the cities were ranked based on overall health outcomes, including length and quality of life, and then also considered in the index are the range of factors that that influence these outcomes, including healthy behaviors, clinical care, social and economic indicators, physical environment, etc. But what's really interesting is the correlation between, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, and maybe we can talk about this, Lisa, as well, in terms of the sort of gender equity approach to education. But education actually has, as I'm sure you can imagine, a huge impact on access to the right health care, the right food, exercise options, etc. So it's kind of like this huge sort of downward spiral where you don't have the education, you can't make the money. You can't make the money, you can't live healthy. And it's a cycle that we're going to have to figure out how to break. And this is the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, isn't really helping much on that front. But actually, let's go now the opposite direction. So what do you think is the healthiest city in California? Absolutely the healthiest. Based on the factors that I gave to you, what do you think is the healthiest? Lisa, what do you think?
I'd have to guess San Diego.
Okay. What do you think, Wade?
I'm going Santa Barbara.
Okay. We're getting closer. Chuck?
Compton.
Definitely Compton. No doubt about that, Rich.
Newport.
Okay. Interestingly enough, it is the corridor you guys mentioned earlier. That's San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, Rio Grande, that area. Interestingly enough. Okay. So back to my home state, good old Illinois. You guys wouldn't even know this because you probably never heard of this place. It's like in central Illinois. It's called Champaign-Urbana, where the University of Illinois is. Interestingly enough there, the percent of folks without health insurance is only 9.1%. But here's a term that I didn't know about. Maybe you guys know about this, and I don't know if this is a gender thing or this just crosses all barriers, but what's this thing called food insecurity? What does that mean exactly? Do you know, Lisa? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
It's kind of
like what I was having last night.
Right. I know you're like looking in the fridge. You're like, damn, all I got is a box of mac and cheese and I have no milk. It's like I have no butter. I have no milk. What am I going to do?
Does it have something to do with we have no idea what we're eating here in the United States most of the time?
I guess so. Or
is it how many days old is that burrito?
Right.
Or no one was going to help me cook it.
Then I got to tell you, in the kitchen, I'm pretty insecure. So I guess technically in my household, we're at least 50% food insecure. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. But what also seemed to be out of whack here is that still being the healthiest city in all of Illinois, 16.1% of the residents declared themselves to be active smokers. In the healthiest city, are people still smoking? I mean, I know I'm smoking weed, right? I mean, and I get that. And if you listen to the show, you know I'm not shy about telling you. And I understand why I do it, because it's great. But there's nothing – what's the upside to nicotine now? Are people really still smoking cigarettes?
That fucking pisses me off, by the way.
I don't get it. Yeah. I
can't even
leave
my windows open at my condo and have smoke come up to my place. I just want to beat the shit out of somebody for that.
I know, right? It's terrible because here we live in San Diego and you want to have like this nice, beautiful sunshine and open air and you can't even open your windows. But 16% of the healthiest city in the whole state report themselves to be active smokers. So what am I missing here, Rich? Because you still smoke Marlboros. You still have your Marlboro T-shirt.
I don't understand the electronic cigarettes. Like that's going to be that much better.
But that's not nicotine. That's just like, those are like...
Yeah, it's just chemicals.
Have you ever smoked it, though?
Well, can you help it when someone walks by puffing one of them things?
Because it smells so good. It's like candy. Well, that's what they're doing. They're marketing this to kids because that e-cig is just like... Wade, you have one of those, right? You got the watermelon flavor I think we had the other day.
Yeah, well, it definitely... There's a vanilla odor that permeates this place sometimes.
Yeah, that's weed, right?
Yeah,
no, it's not weed.
Yeah, exactly. Weed or the potpourri of choice. All right, so Lisa, kind of give everybody a little bit of a heads up here. So what are we going to be talking about as far as reinventing gender equity?
Well, I actually like to talk a little bit about continuing this little quiz on statistics, so let me ask you guys something.
Please.
How many CEOs of U.S. Fortune 500 companies... are women? What percent?
All right, let's do this as a little cliffhanger because you know I like people coming back after the break. And by the way, if you want to join in on the conversation here, of course, I always forget to mention that. Chuck, read that phone number there. What's the phone number here in the studio? Right in front of you, this one.
It is 866-977-2346 and extension number 1.
Awesome. All right, so yeah, if you want to join in on the conversation, that is the number here at Reinvention Radio. And we are going to be talking about... the Fortune 500 and how many women CEOs we have and reinventing gender equity right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We got a full house of men here, and we got Lisa on the line as well. So Lisa Marie Jenkins, who is the author of Wake Up Beauty, It's Not About the Prince. Man, that is like, I love that. So, all right, so talk to me. You've listened to the show before, right, Lisa?
I have.
So you know what you're in for. Okay, you know what you're in for. Okay, cool. And we're going to talk about the percentage of women who are Fortune 500 CEOs, and we've all got our guesses here as well. But,
it doesn't count if you Googled it when you... on break.
and we did not.
Because I got more.
No, none of it. We were talking about how we're going to just absolutely just bombard you with our side of the equation. Because technically, when you come on talking about reinventing gender equity, that means that some other part of the gender, sphere here is in your opinion, getting an unfair advantage, which, I could understand why women feel that way historically, but aren't we still...
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that, Steve. I don't think there's a disadvantage here. There's maybe some a few minor external factors that affected it, and I'm talking U.S. right now.
Okay.
Because that's not the case in other parts of the world. I mean, women, by every measure, have equality in the U.S. Maybe a couple policy changes still need to happen around pay equity and also around family work balance, for paternal leave, maternal leave, that kind of thing. But we're 50% of the workforce, and we're 40% of the primary wage earner. We earn 60%, I say women, of all graduate and postgraduate degrees. So, and we've been the primary degree earner since I graduated college, 1985. So fast forward 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet today, guess what? CEOs in the U.S. that are women for Fortune 500 companies represent what percent?
I was going to guess 14%.
Five.
Three.
One.
Five has. It's 4.7%. Yeah.
Wow.
4.7%.
So, Rich, and you win gender equity. All right, so what are we talking about then? If we're not talking about equality, and I don't, and obviously, I mean, because to me, equity. Me and we were talking about this on the break. Equity is like money, right? I mean, that's what we're. No, what are you talking about?
Well, it can be. It can be. It is money because the point is that we're. You know, and I'll share a few stats with you. But in major tech companies, so where I came from, I spent 20 plus years in Fortune 500 high tech companies, and still today. And I'm not talking about tech roles. I'm talking about across the board. Your major tech companies like Google, Cisco, Microsoft. Women only represent 20% or less of their overall employee population. And women in the world today, guess what percent of women have been a head of state? What percent of countries have had a female head of state?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be under 1%.
Yeah, it's 6%. It's 6%.
See? So you guys are doing much better.
It's pretty low, yeah.
You guys are doing phenomenal. What's the complaint all about?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in control, I would have given you 1%. You're up to 6%. That's pretty good.
Really? You think that's good?
I mean, look, in the scheme of things, there's a lot less women in the workforce. So let's be honest about that because, you know, women... And
no, they're not. Women represent 50% of the workforce today.
Yeah, but women represent 50% of the workforce for now because when you're an employer and you're looking at who you want to lead your company, let's be honest, when you look at women, especially those who are in their 20s and 30s, you know that at some point, that maternal urge is going to kick in, and you are going to lose that woman to raise her children, which is all well and good, but that's got to be taken into consideration when they're looking for it. No.
No, but that's not the case. That's not the case anymore. Women are coming back to the workforce. When I left the workforce, I actually stayed home for 5 years with my children, reentered the workforce. When I reentered the workforce, I doubled my income. So I don't think that it has to be. No, I see way too many women that are doing both. And more men stepping up to take on some more of the home and the nurturing roles so that both parties can work equally. Mm-hmm. But there's more to that because even if you look at board seats, right, in the U.S., women represent 17% of board seats of major companies.
Mm-hmm. All right,
there's something more going on here. This isn't an equality issue. Motherhood is definitely not one of the reasons.
All right, so when we're talking about equity, though, so just because I'm stupid most
equity,
of the time, yeah, what do you mean between equity and equality? What's the difference?
I'm talking about primary decision makers. I'm talking about leaders, the C-suite, political positions, elected political positions, more true leadership roles. So, for example, there's half a dozen studies that have come out over the last couple of years, including research by McKinsey and Catalyst, that show when a company employs the most women in their C-suite and their senior roles versus their competition, that company outperforms their competitors on almost every measure of profitability consistently. Mm. So it's not, and that's not a statement of, oh, because women are better, because it's not women are better, it's that it's a diversity thing. So when I say equity, I'm talking about diversity. There's balance that happens through diversity of thought, diversity of skill sets. And so when you have women and men, intelligent, educated men and women leaders in a group, we've brought a whole new level of skill sets, a whole new level of emotional intelligence, and it's within that diversity and balance that creates the success.
So give us an example. It does. I mean, yeah, I've got opinions, as you could imagine. But okay, but give us an example then of a company that has in sort of let's look at it from the long haul perspective. Give us an example of a company that has, over the long haul, done much better since they put a woman in charge.
That's done much, but HP. Carly Farini.
Yeah,
she got something there.
HP did, you know, but at the same token, we can point to one, right?
And it's not about, but the point is, you see, but you're taking it back to, oh, a woman's in charge, so the company is going to be better. You know, there might be a woman in charge, but there still may not be a good mix of gender in there. See, the point is, okay, you have to give me this one, Steve. When you look at men and women, as, you know, women are first looked at as, okay, let me talk about HP. So there was an internal study done at HP because they wanted to figure out why more women weren't going for promotions and applying for job promotions internally. So what the study found is that when they posted a job, a man would look at the job posting, and if he had 60% of the qualifications, he went for it. when a woman looked at that same job posting, she would tell herself, I have to have 100% of the qualifications before I will apply for the job. So it comes down to the part of the problem is confidence for women, because women are seen, women focus on being liked first over being heard and selling their own vision, because we're seen as supportive, emotional, we're the caretakers, and so we're afraid to step out and be anything outside of that, because you look at any powerful woman in the world, she gets criticized way harsher than any man.
Mm-hmm. And typically when
so
that
it's difficult
happens,
for women to go for the confidence. So what I, and I'll just tell you my personal experience, which really got me to where I am today. I spent mm-hmm. the majority of my career in the field selling high tech, and it's very male dominated. I rarely worked with a woman that wasn't administrative or marketing. And I had that kind of like, if I wanted something, I just went for it. I'd figure it out as I went along, and I didn't worry about what I didn't bring. I would focus on what I could bring to the table. And when I moved in later in my career, I moved into global marketing roles where I was surrounded with more women, and I realized, wow, men do this all the time, and women don't do this at all. Women don't lead with confidence. They think they have to keep being proving competent before they'll ever take a risk. And that's part of what's holding women back, by the way. It's not women are fully empowered in the United States. Whether you want to embrace that or not is up to you as a woman, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But so let me ask you this, Steve. What about the film industry? So if you look at the film industry, right, films are about people, about life. We're 50% of the population, I think. Right? So when you look at that, 1 in 5 leading roles goes to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, only 1 in 3 roles goes to a woman. And of the top 16 paychecks in Hollywood, guess how many go to a woman?
1.
0.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah, so explain that one.
Well, I mean.
That's not even business. That's about representation of life.
Yeah, so therein lies the question, right? So is it an issue then that from a societal perspective, you know, we have to, I guess, if you will, shift our thinking around the roles that women can play? Because ostensibly, if you're telling me that they're equally talented, if you're telling me that they're equally capable, if you're telling me that women as a whole have the same abilities, if not more so than men, then why don't the statistics support that position? People would be smarter than that.
Well, because there's a couple things. There's 2 major plays. So I'll start with the internal factors, because I started talking about that. Women often focus on being liked instead of being heard, because when women put themselves in the arena, it's fierce for them. They really take harsh criticism. And we all have judgment. So it's kind of like an unconscious gender bias, if you will. And we all have it. Even somebody that can say I'm pro-woman, or you're a woman that's pro-woman, because I can tell you I purposely navigated my career so I never reported to a woman, right? So I'm here supporting women's leadership, and I never wanted to report to a woman because I saw 1 of 2 things usually happen. I either saw she was the type of manager that was going to micromanage the crap out of me, right? Or she was going to see me as competition, and she was going to keep me oppressed. Mm-hmm. And so women often come from this scarcity model that there's not enough for all of us, so we hold each other down by seeing each other as competition. So we compete and we compare and we criticize each other. So, and then there's this whole confidence thing, so that women have to struggle, that are struggling with today, because I see women having trouble finding their authentic voice. And that's really where I spend my time, is helping women find their strength, their power, standing in it, owning it, and having big hearts and thick skin, so to speak. Because I don't want to see a woman lead like a man. I want to see a woman lead like a woman. And it goes back to that diversity, right? It's through our strengths
mm-hmm.
that we create success and we solve problems. It's not through the same old thing. And the other big piece, though, is unconscious gender bias that I don't want to forget to talk about.
And we will. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. First of all, we're going to agree to disagree a little bit about this. But after the break, I want you to, you know, dive into that a little bit further. But I also then want us to talk about why most men want women to act like a woman and not take on that strong sort of leadership type role. So we'll be right back after this.
Ooh, okay.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And how you doing, Lisa? Okay, so listen here. On the break, first of all, I feel abandoned. I got four guys in the studio here, and all of them are, like, sitting with their legs crossed. And so that's kind of the question here, really, too, is because, I mean, look, you don't even want to work for a woman, Lisa. I mean, men don't want a woman who emasculates them, right?
This isn't gender equality. This is gender bending right now.
Yeah.
We have that
at
home.
That's a little different. So, well, let's talk about that, because let's not talk about men versus women. Let's talk about masculine versus feminine,
okay,
right? All right, well, I'll get a little woo-woo on you, right? Like, we all have a masculine and feminine side, right? And it's all about balance. And when I say masculine and feminine, I'm not talking sexual orientation. I'm not talking about how you dress. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about masculine being traits like decisive, resilient, competitive versus, they're more of the linear, analytical, logical, sort of things.
But when guys go down that woo-woo road, like, we end up being put on the block where we can't do and be men if we're sensitive and we get, like, looked down upon. So it's like, it's really confusing.
I don't know about that. Maybe it's changing, though. You got to admit it's changing with the millennials. But, okay, so feminine qualities are expressive, reasonable, loyal, emotional intelligence, collaborative, right? So when you look at, there's studies out there that have gone out worldwide and saying, what are the top 10 competencies most desired now for modern leaders? And 8 out of the 10 desired traits are what are considered feminine. And it doesn't mean that it has to be a woman. It's just that we're looking for people that care more about impact, that care more about collaboration and for the greater good. And
yeah, but those are people, honestly, let's be real here. I mean, those are people who are answering questions behind closed doors, right? I mean, so those are the things that ideally they might want. But in reality, what people want is someone who can lead, who will get the company to the promised land, who will take the best interests of the employees in mind, and who, most importantly, will be willing to fight to get what is right for their people. That's what people want in a leader.
So everything you just described requires emotional intelligence, the ability to relate, inspire people, to move them. Because of what a leader does is it inspires people to move into action in the direction they want to go. Right, and that takes emotional intelligence. So, you know, when I talked about diversity as the strength, right, we already know that men can be, you know, resilient and linear and analytical and logical. I mean, it's how we got war. It's how we got bridges. It's how we got technology. But we need the other side to be brought in. In case you guys haven't noticed, the world's not in such a great shape, right? We've got to start caring about the greater good.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's not in great shape. I actually think things are getting better. And that, you know, and that's across the board. But let's get it down to the one specific point here, which is, now, hold on, Lisa, hold on. So here's what I want to know. What is your biggest beef right now? Like, if you could boil it down to one specific thing, what is it that there are not enough women leading companies? Is that where you're going with this?
My biggest beef is that women have a major role to play in the evolution of our species.
And they're playing it. They're giving us babies.
No. Okay, wait, listen. And that women are taking a back seat instead of finding the confidence and the courage to play bigger in their lives and in their careers.
I don't know. If you ask most women, I don't think they would answer yes to either of those questions. I mean, you would have to be a pretty weak woman or weak person in general to say yes. What you just said describes exactly who I am and how I am.
Well, I see it all the time. I work with women all. I see it all the time. Women in major roles that still struggle with doing it authentically.
So what do you think? What do you think they're afraid of? Are they afraid of getting fired?
I'm talking about heart-led leadership, right? Really, not just this. Okay, here's. Have you ever watched any of the documentaries like Vietnam in HD or World War II in HD?
I got to admit, if I'm watching something, I'm watching Breaking Bad nowadays. So no.
Okay. All right. Well, pretty fascinating. But the point is in during Vietnam, it lasted 10 years. And during that 10 years, the entire 10 years, regularly, they had peace talks going on in Paris. And the room was this, I've seen video footage and also just photos of it. It's a huge room with hundreds of people around a table working constantly on trying to find a peace treaty for Vietnam. And the room was filled with middle-aged white males. There wasn't a female in there. And I'm just saying, if you had 10 females in that room, they wouldn't have stood for the inhumanity part of war. They would have found a solution. They would have worked harder because the same, you know, what's the famous quote by Einstein? The same thinking that created the problem can't be the thinking that's going to solve the problem.
Yeah, but let's be real here. I mean, we're dealing with a dictator, right? I mean, someone who is doing things that are unholy and really just, well, I mean, if you look back historically,
and you don't
think the other side of it.
We could have benefited from some different thought processes in there?
Here's what I know. I mean, certainly we're not going to get into a Vietnam specific discussion because obviously we made some mistakes there. But what we know unequivocally is that we couldn't just sit by and try to do this with peace. War had to be involved. There was no way that we were going to get. Oh man! So there was no way that we were going to get
to
any
war.
Sort of.
That was body count.
Well, it's body
count. It wasn't even a. But yeah. All right, so let's change this because we could go down a rat hole with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me share something with you, and you guys tell me what you think. What's your take on this, or if it even surprises you? So there was a woman named Heidi Roizen. She was an Apple executive. She left Apple a few years ago, and she started a venture capitalist firm in Silicon Valley. The woman killed it. I mean, she was so highly successful that Harvard Business School did a business case review on her. And then a couple professors from Columbia University took their business students, and they took this business case, and they divided their students in half. Men and women represented equally in both groups. They gave one group of students the original case study with Heidi Roizen. They gave the other group the exact same case, and they changed one word in it. They changed Heidi to Howard. And then they polled the groups. So each group found Heidi and Howard equally competent. Like, duh, how could you not? They had the same credentials, the same level of success. But they loved Howard. They revered Howard. Howard was a leader. Howard was a great guy. Would love to work for him. Heidi, she's power hungry. She's out for herself. Don't like her. Don't trust her. Wouldn't want to work for her.
What if her name
was Helen? Why is it that we see men and women so differently when they do the exact same thing when it comes to business and success?
Because women and men are different. Women have a very specific role in society that men don't have. I mean, let's be real. You know, when women try to be men, it doesn't work. When men try to be
women,
it doesn't work.
That's the whole point.
But that's the thing, is men and women have different characteristics. Men and women have different personality traits. And for us to then take on more of sort of the female way of being is ostensibly, you know, you can't, two things cannot occupy the same space. So if I'm going to be this, it is totally true.
It gets wonky.
It's totally true.
Can't be competent and nice.
You know what?
What they found is she wasn't nice. She wasn't nice. So why, when a woman is competent, she can't be nice?
All right, here's what I have a feeling. I have a feeling that people are actually, maybe there's others with opinions on this. So let me just at least give out the phone number one more time here, which is 866-977-2346 and hit extension number 1. 866-977-2346, hit number 1. And if you're listening to the podcast and you want to leave a comment, we actually just opened up a phone line where you can leave a comment on a past show. You can dial 1-844-MRBOLD1. So it's 844-MR-BOLD1, and you can leave a comment about the episode or a question or anything of that nature. We are here to serve. So, all right, so here's my question for you. When you look at men and you look at women, you have to admit that historically, and this is an unequivocal fact, historically, those that are willing to take a stand and to say we don't have to find a middle ground here, that it is my way or the highway, those are the people that typically are men and typically have built pretty darn large, successful organizations. They may have some collaboration, but they've been willing to put their foot down to take a stand and say, you know what? You can think whatever you want to think, but this is how we're going to do it.
Well, taking a stand is one thing, you know, having a boundary and taking a stand. But the point is that type of leadership, you know, millennials are going to be 75% of the workforce in 10 years. And millennials don't buy into that, do it because I told you, and buy into that hierarchy anymore from leadership. It's got to be something greater. So I don't know. I would disagree. I mean, yes, a leader has to be somebody that's willing to take a stand, willing to take the hard knocks, willing to take criticism, willing to draw a line and have a boundary. But it can't be done from a dictatorship anymore, and they're going to be a strong leader and survive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, millennials aren't going to put up with that.
All right, so if you had a room full of women right now who are extremely talented, they've been in the workforce for a while, they are mm-hmm. just as mm-hmm. capable as anyone else to lead a company, what do you tell them to do so that they can assume that leadership position?
I tell them to focus on their growing their confidence, increasing their confidence, letting go of having to prove competence. It's a big one. It's a huge one for women. If you just think of the centuries and centuries, Steve, that women have been oppressed and still are in many parts of the world, right? That they're brutalized, they're mutilated, they're enslaved. They're second-class citizens with no rights, right? And it hasn't been 100 years yet that women have had the right to vote in the U.S. You know, so it goes back to those roles where women haven't felt safe to speak their truth. They haven't felt safe to speak up or to defend themselves or protect themselves in a way. And so women are having to relearn that for themselves. So for me, most of the time I tell women it's working on the courage thing. And I'll give you an example right now. I worked my last role at Cisco. I was a senior product marketing manager and a cloud engineering business unit, and I'm not an engineer. I was there because it was a startup group. I was more in a business development role there. But everybody I worked with was a really brilliant engineer that had very high credentials from some of the best schools in the U.S. And for me, I would often come from intuition, and I would have an idea and a gut feel for something, and I would want to bring it up, but I knew it went against convention, and I knew these were very data-driven, very analytical people, and it would take a lot of courage sometimes for me to speak up. And I learned the more I went into that fear of, no, I need to speak up,
mm-hmm.
that it was something I needed to say and something I needed to do. So I was introducing to them a different way of doing it besides, you know, the data-driven world. The other thing is, women overthink, overanalyze instead of taking action.
Yeah, and that for sure they do. So let's talk about some other strategies, and let's talk about your book when we come back here on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here in studio with Chuck Wayne, Richard Ote. What's up, buddy? And we got Lisa Marie Jenkins on the line as well. All right, so Lisa, I have to ask this question. Don't be mad at me. Are you married?
No, I'm single.
That's not a surprise. Love you, hon, but I mean, really, that's not a surprise. And I only say that because, look, we as men, it's going to take millennia for men to not want women to be a certain way. I mean, it's in our DNA. It's within.
What do you mean by certain way?
All right, so here's what's interesting, right? Because you're talking about, and this is what you say on your website, which is, by the way, lisamariejenkins.com, which I encourage people to check out, and the Wake Up Beauty book is there as well. But, you know, what? One of the things that you talk about is that women no longer need to compromise their femininity in order to be successful. Okay, so if you're saying they don't need to compromise their femininity in order to be successful, are you then saying that everyone over all of these years has been making a huge mistake by trying to tell women that they need to be more like men, right, in order to lead? So that's basically what you're saying. Just be a woman and don't worry about, you know, taking on those male characteristics.
So yes and no.
No, we can't have yes or no. I mean, okay, so we no longer need to compromise our femininity in order to be successful.
Yes, and what I mean by femininity is your heart, caring about people, your emotional intelligence, those collaboration, caring about the greater good, creating positive impact in the world. That's what I mean by femininity. But women need to beef up their masculine traits, and those are the things like decisiveness, get rid of tentative speech, you know, not overthinking and overanalyzing.
But now you're telling women not to be women, right? Because ostensibly that is what a woman does.
I'm telling them to beef up their masculine side because they're out of balance. Women, so many women are out of balance. They're all feminine, no masculine, just like you guys are so masculine and no feminine.
All right, but let's be real. But you said it yourself because you said it yourself. You don't want to work for a woman who displays those sort of character traits.
No, I said I didn't. And earlier in my career, that's how I viewed it before I learned myself that I had my own unconscious gender bias going on, because it's like you said, you are carrying it in your DNA for years, and it's because we see women as emotional, supportive, caring, and we see men as leaders, providers. That's not the world we live in anymore. Okay, we don't need you guys to provide for us, go out and kill the meat, and protect our safety.
And that's
right?
Part
We're
of
out the
problem.
Caveman days.
And that's part of the problem, right? I mean, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be at home, men want to help women in however way they can, and to take care of women in the way that they can, in the same way that women can take care of men in the way that they are genetically predisposed.
You know, Steve, we can actually be completely replaceable now, even in the bedroom.
Evidently.
You know,
I mean,
seriously.
All right,
so I'm not going to be insulted by your...
No.
I'm not surprised by that. But see, that's part of the... I'm very feminine. I mean, I'm feminine in my appearance, my dress, my attitude. I love men.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, honestly, that men want to be with a strong woman, like, for the long term?
I think it's changing. I think most men are threatened by that.
I do too.
And they don't, because they lose their place, because you're still stuck in your old DNA and you haven't outthought that old DNA. That I want to want a man. I don't want to need a man.
But
and
you still
we
want a man to be a man, though. I mean, that's the thing, though. Do you still want?
Of course.
Right, and we want, and look, men want to be needed by their woman, because if we feel as though you don't need us, then what role do we have to play in the relationship? Because ostensibly...
Supportive, loving, caring, sexual, partnership, companionship. I don't want to need you. I want to want you.
Lisa, I'm going to dumb down this conversation really to a completely different level. Steve, remember your Facebook post? There was something about, like, what do men need?
Oh, right. So I believe that men are very simple creatures. You know, you feed us, you fuck us, you allow us to be men, and you be nice. And if you bat 50% women, you win. What do you think?
Yep. And
is that?
I think that the majority of the male population still lives there. I just wrote a blog about it. It's called Lessons from a Tarpon, and it said almost exactly what you just said.
Yeah, but
is
that wrong? Hold on. Is that wrong?
It's not about wrong or right. It wouldn't be right for me, because I want somebody that's a little more evolved than that.
So do you think it's possible, or would
it be wrong for me personally?
All right, so do you think it's possible?
But I can't answer for anybody else.
Or would you suggest then that a woman acts, if you will, differently at home than she does at work? Is that
no,
okay?
No, it's about being authentic. So I'm asking women to up the courage game, and I'm asking men to up their emotional intelligence game.
Mm-hmm. But you specifically work with women. So what do you think is going to happen when the majority of women, I mean, let's say everything goes exactly as you would like it to go, where women step up their game, you know, they get to the point where ostensibly they're taking on what I believe you are saying are the positive male characteristics that can help them become better leaders, better contributors, etc. What do you think happens to that gender equity, that gender equality, that dynamic between men and women when more women or the majority of women or all women do exactly what you're suggesting that they do?
Well, I think it totally frees you guys up from all of that pressure of having to be the provider and the strength and the backbone so that you can take off your damn armor, right? So you don't have to be so tough, no kinks in the armor, show no weakness, show no emotion. Like, maybe you guys can evolve a little and get out of that old DNA of, like what you said, as long as I have, I don't remember your exact words, but it was, as long as I have sex, I can hunt and I can go to sports, right? I'm good. Like, so you evolve out of your caveman and evolve your own species a little bit. I think when women step up, we free you guys up to start exploring and growing and evolving a little bit. Because now you're not pressure, which is exactly what my book is about. It's not a bash on men in any way, shape, or form. It's that women have been so conditioned to believe that their holy grail is when they find their romantic relationship. And that's a lot of pressure on you guys. Like, if you're responsible for my passion and my happiness. So the point is a woman is responsible for her own passion, purpose, and worth. And she's never going to find that outside of herself, and she's never going to find that in the romantic relationship, because that's too much of an order for anybody to provide happiness to me.
Yeah, Chuck, you're jumping out of your chair here,
I mean,
man.
Is there a correlation between what's going on today in society with, like, the generals and what we see in divorce rates? Because, you know, back in the day when it was pretty simple, we all stayed together, right?
That's a good question, Chuck.
But today, I mean, it's like left and right. It's going crazy. It's batshit crazy around here. Like 46%.
So do you think that has to do with sort of the evolution of women, if you will, into more of these dominant or unaccepting of, you know, the past role?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of that, but my opinion is it has a lot more to do with, you know, marriages were more of a necessity for survival at some point, and because women, you know, stayed home, they took care of the kids, and they didn't have their own, you know, paycheck and that sort of thing. But I also think that there's no shame anymore in getting divorced, right, for one thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, certainly in if my parents were alive, they'd be 88, and my grandparents' generation, nobody really divorced then. But they might have spent 50 years together in misery. People aren't willing to do that anymore.
Yeah. All right. So
we're growing out of our marriage as a necessity to run the farm.
I hear you. All right, so let's do this. Let's give your book one more quick pub here. So it's Wake Up Beauty. It's Not About the Prince. And where can people find the book?
They can get anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any indie book reseller. They can order a personalized copy from my website as well.
Okay, and what is the website again, please?
LisaMarieJenkins.com.
Okay. All right. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been certainly a very interesting discussion, boys. All right, Rich, you've been real quiet here. Come on, give me a final thought.
Okay, so my daughter's going to be 3.
I should preface that. In 5 seconds, give us a final thought.
3 in October. As a father of this daughter, what would you say a man should be like?
Yeah, exactly. I know. Well, she's gone, so she can't even answer that question. But I hear you. I mean, it's a question. All right, Chuck, final thought?
You know, I love this conversation. It's a great conversation to have. It's something that we really need to look at, because how do you want to be?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and Lisa, I love you. Hopefully, you know, we're still going to be friends after this. But, you know, I got to tell you, it's definitely something that's worth a further discussion. And we may do that again here on Reinvention Radio. Talk to you really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsha, visit reinventionradio.com.